Well, shalom, y'all. We are so glad that you have joined us for this week's teaching. You know, his word tells us great shalom, or you can say great peace, have those who love his Torah or his law, and nothing will cause them to stumble. You know, his word is a solid foundation for us. It keeps us strong. It keeps us from falling under the temptations or the pressures of this world, and keeps us on track and keeps us strong. And when we follow his word, when we love his word, it brings joy, it brings peace, it brings completeness into our lives. And so with that said, that is why here at Shalom, y'all, we love his Torah, we love his word. And our goal and our aim is to walk in obedience to his word each and every single day. So let's go ahead and jump into his word for this week. We're going to be in Deuteronomy chapter 29. We're getting close to actually finishing out this Torah cycle, and we're going to be with verse 1 here. It says, "These are the words of the covenant that Yahweh commanded Moses to make with the people of Israel and the land of Moab, besides the covenant that he had made with them at Horeb. And Moses summoned all Israel and said to them, 'You have seen all that Yahweh did before your eyes in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land. The great trials that your eyes saw, the signs and those great wonders. But to this day, Yahweh has not given you a heart to understand or eyes to see or ears to hear.'" Now, remember, the book of Deuteronomy is basically a retelling of the Torah that Yahweh had already given Israel. The retelling, though, is to the next generation that is entering into the promised land. So, here, Moses has summoned Israel together. He is going to be going over the covenant with Israel. And it's a very interesting statement that we see here said. Here is a people who have been told, some of them were alive as they were young when they came out of the land of Egypt. So they have heard and some have seen the great wonders of how Yahweh pulled them out of Egypt with the great Passover, how they were led through the Red Sea, and how they were led through the wilderness for 40 years, how he provided for them in the wilderness, how their clothes did not wear out, their shoes did not wear out. They were provided with food and water to drink each and every single day. So they saw his wonders. But there's an interesting statement, because we even see how once before the Torah was given unto Israel. But he says, "But until this day, it has not been given you a heart to understand or eyes to see or ears to hear." So there was a process that Yahweh brought Israel along their journey as they went to the promised land. He also took them the long way, because he said if they went the short way, they would see the giants and be fearful. So he took them the long way. He took them through a process, to a time where they were taught and they were able to learn his ways, to learn about him and to go through tests, to go through trials so that they could walk in covenant with him. And so this kind of teaches us a lesson as well with us. You know, when our eyes are open for that first time and we believe in our hearts upon Yeshua and we see that we are a sinful person and that we need redemption and that we need to be forgiven of our sins. And if we do not confess our sins, if we do not put our faith in Yeshua, then we will receive eternal judgment, that there is a curse that is upon our life for the fact that we have disobeyed his Torah. So we put our faith and we have that conviction and we repent of our sins. We put our belief in Yeshua, the fact that he has cleansed us of all of our uncleanness. And we believe that he rose from that grave on the third day. And we begin to serve him and to live for him. That is not the completion of our walk. That is just the beginning of our walk. And he's going to take us on a journey, and he's going to teach and he's going to reveal things to us as it is fit in his eyes. He's the great shepherd, and he's going to lead us and he's going to guide us. Our responsibility is to have a heart that's open to receive the conviction when he speaks into our lives of those things that we need to change. We don't become perfect overnight. Israel did not leave Egypt and become a perfect nation serving Yahweh perfectly the very next day. There was a process, and as we see here, there was even a process in which Yahweh taught them, in which he revealed himself to them, in which he even gave them the ability to understand, see, or hear what he was teaching them. Let's look at Matthew chapter 13 and verse 10. Then the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And he answered them, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance, but from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, 'You will indeed hear, but never understand, and you will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." So as we see in our first verse we read, it appears that Israel, even though they saw the redemption out of Egypt, they saw themselves be delivered through the crossing of the Red Sea. They saw the manna provided. They saw water flow from the rock. They saw all these great things that Yahweh had done for them in the desert, but yet they still lacked an understanding. They still didn't see because God hadn't given them the heart to see yet. And we see here in this passage, even when Yeshua, the Son of God, the one who was without sin, the one who walked perfectly, who perfectly represented the Father, there were those who didn't have an ear to hear his words. There were those who didn't have the eyes to see that the Messiah was right in front of them, that the sinless one was standing right before them. They didn't have the understanding in their hearts to turn and embrace and see that he was the sent one. And so Yeshua speaks here and says that he spoke in a way to which those who had an ear to hear, so those who had an understanding, would understand what was being said. And to those who have an understanding, what they have, they will get even more. They will get more understanding. To them who is faithful in the little, to them more will be given. But to those who were not faithful over the little, over that which was being spoken, because they didn't have an ear to hear, they didn't have an understanding. And why did they not have a heart for understanding? Why did they not have an ear to hear? Was it because they were not elected to hear? Or could it be because they had a heart that was hard and wasn't open and receptive to hear the message? They were rebellious. They were stuck in their religion. They were stuck in their way of doing things instead of having a heart that was open to actually see and have a relationship with the living God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So those whose ears were closed, who didn't have an understanding, now they won't perceive or hear anything at all. because they don't have an ear to hear. Let's look at John chapter 16 and verse 12. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. So here is Yeshua speaking along the lines that you don't receive the download all at one time. The moment you believe, you don't understand all of Scripture at that moment in time. Nor does he expect you or require you to understand all of Scripture at that moment in time. If he required that, then why would Yeshua say, I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now? There were things that the disciples still needed to learn, but Yeshua knew it wasn't the time for them to learn them. So he chose and knew it best not to teach them to them now, not to tell them those things, because they could not bear them at that moment in time, because he had a plan. Our Father in heaven has a plan for us, and his plan is his Spirit, which this verse calls the Spirit of truth. What is the truth? It's his word. It's his Scripture. It's his Torah. His Spirit will come and will teach us his law. His Spirit will come and teach us his word, his ways. He will guide us in all truth, in all Scripture, in all his ways. His Spirit will guide us. So, as believers, if we can learn to take the expectation off of ourselves, to think that we have to figure it all out at this very moment in time, and just sit back and say, you know what? My focus is to learn. My focus is to follow his Spirit, is to walk in obedience with the things that I know now to the best of my ability, and allow his Spirit to lead me and guide me as he sees fit. His Spirit will teach us things at the right time. Yeshua taught his disciples things at the right time. There is a right time for him to teach us, and that's what he's doing. The Spirit doesn't come speaking on his own authority. So when the Spirit is leading and guiding you, the Spirit is going to lead and guide you according to his word. If something is leading and guiding you contrary to his word, then it is not his Spirit. It is your flesh. Okay, so the Spirit's going to speak that is of God, that what is of Yeshua. That is what he's going to speak of. And his Spirit will help us to interpret his Scripture correctly. His Spirit will help us to interpret the law correctly, to apply his Torah correctly. See, if we get in there and we try to figure it all out on ourselves, and we abandon the help of his Spirit, we seek to try to do it ourselves instead of allowing his Spirit to lead us and guide us through the process and for him to do it on his timing, it leads us to the spot where we can begin to interpret Scripture through our manly wisdom and understanding instead of through the Spirit. And we can begin to interpret it wrongly. We can begin to apply it wrongly. And we can find ourselves in a spot where we can be judgmental. We can find ourselves in a spot where we maybe become a little bit too legalistic or too focused upon the literal interpretation or literal reading of a scripture, forgetting about the relationship with our God and the heart, the intent, the spirit behind each and every single one of these commands that he gave Israel and ultimately comes down to us as well. We can interpret scripture wrong. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 11. About this, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain. Since you have become dull of hearing, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. So here Paul is speaking, and we see here this concept or this idea that we as believers, we are to mature. Again, we don't just pray a prayer one day and everything's set in place and we're this perfect believer. Instead, it's the opposite. When we put our faith in him, we are as a child. We are as a babe. And as we begin to learn his word, we are on what he calls the milk of the word, the most basic doctrines and teachings of his word. That is what we're on. But every believer is called to grow, to mature, to become stronger in your faith. And of course, this is done by the leading and the guiding of his spirit. His spirit will come along and convict us of those things that we need to change as we mature at his timing. Okay? But we ought to be growing. We ought not to be stagnant and not to be growing. Okay? He's rebuking them here. He says, because some of you have been in the faith long enough. I'm paraphrasing this, but some of you have been in the faith long enough that you should be eating solid food and not on milk, but you're still on milk. You need to be taught the basic principles again. You have not grown. And that is what he's rebuking them for. Solid food is for the mature. See, everyone who loves milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. They have not rightfully learn how to read and decipher and to discern his word, to discern between what is good and what is evil. And I would say that you haven't learned fully how to rely upon his spirit, how to follow the leading of his spirit, because really for us to be skilled in the word of righteousness and for us to really discern between good and evil, it's not that we have gained a human knowledge so well of scripture, but we have learned his word, but we have also learned to have that relationship with his Holy Spirit to where we can rightfully discern those things by his spirit. We have matured enough to know what it means to be led by his spirit and not by our flesh. It is so easy for believers to think they're following his spirit when really they're following their flesh. And a lot of times that's because they are on milk and they can't discern between what is good and what is evil. So just as Israel walked through a process, we as believers are walking through a process in which we are maturing. And don't be hard on yourself as you're maturing. Don't be hard on others when they're maturing. We are all maturing, we're all walking out our faith, and we're all learning as we go. Let's look at Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Messiah Yeshua has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Messiah Yeshua. So here Paul is saying, he's talking about how he is pressing on towards the goal. We all have a goal that we are pressing toward. What is that goal? That goal should be to be transformed into the image of Yeshua, to walk just as he walked, to be perfect just as he is perfect. Okay? That's walking in a complete obedience to his word and complete faith unto our living God. Okay? He says here, not to have already obtained it. He hasn't obtained the goal. He hasn't obtained perfection yet. None of us have obtained that goal yet. But does that mean that we stop? Does that mean that we give up? Does that mean that we say, I will never be perfect, so I will not press towards that goal? No, Paul says, I haven't attained it, but I press on to make it my own. I press on toward the fact of trying to walk just as Yeshua walked, to be perfect just as he was perfect. I press on, I fight, I push toward the goal, the prize of the upward call of God in Messiah Yeshua. What is the upward call? What has he called us unto? He said to be perfect just as I am perfect, to walk just as he walked. That is the upward call that we have, to be like him, to be without sin. So that's the goal we're pressing toward. We're not giving up. We're not saying we can't do it and settling for where we are at. But we're pressing forward toward that high calling. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. So here Paul is telling Timothy, I have fought the good fight. I have pressed on toward the mark. I have not given up. I have not lost faith. I have pressed on toward the goal. I have pressed on toward walking just as Yeshua walked. That's what we want to be able to say. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have done what I was called to do. I have kept the faith. No matter how hard life got, no matter how many times I was persecuted for his sake, thrown in jail, beaten, I kept the faith. No matter what temptations come our way, no matter what trials we face, no matter what persecution we face, we need to be able to say, I have kept the faith. I have finished the race. We want to be able to say one day that I have achieved the goal, that I have not given up. I did not stop. I did not become stagnant, but I fought to become just as Yeshua. And what does Paul say? Because of that, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. As we walk through this earth, we need to learn to have our focus upon eternity, not upon the here and now. When we get focused upon the here and now, We get caught up in the pleasures of this world. We get caught up in the pleasures of sin. But when we can keep our eyes focused on eternity and living for eternity and what is to come and the reward that comes to those who are able to say, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race and I have kept my faith. To those, they will receive a reward. They will receive a crown of righteousness. We will sit with him at his throne. To all who love him, to all who do as Paul did, who fought the fight, kept the faith, finished the race, to all will receive a crown of righteousness. It will be awarded unto us on the day of his appearing. And what does Yeshua tell us? If you love me, you will keep my commandments. So we are in a relationship with Yeshua. The moment we put our belief in him, we went into a covenant with him. We don't start out in perfection, walking perfectly with him on that first day. But it's like every relationship we have, even here on earth. We learn as we go through that relationship. We are learning as we go through our relationship with Yeshua. We need to be open. We need to be repentant and humble and willing to learn and to grow and to be led by his Spirit and to know that he is leading us and he is guiding us through our walk with him. He is guiding us and teaching us on how to walk just as Yeshua walked. He is guiding us and teaching us on how to be perfect just as he was perfect. The worst thing we can do is, number one, to give up and to say, I will never obtain that goal, so I'm not even going to try. The other thing would be to try to achieve that perfection on your own wisdom, on your own understanding, and on your own ability and power. If we are going to walk just as he walked, we are going to have to be empowered by his Spirit, and we're going to have to be taught by his Spirit. Without his Spirit, we will fail. It's not by our might, it's not by our strength, but it is by his Spirit. That is how we will accomplish it. So let's take time and enjoy the journey. Instead of trying and fretting that you're not perfect at this moment, enjoy the journey and surrender to his Spirit, surrender to his ways, surrender to his timing, and allow his Spirit to work, allow his Spirit to move, and allow his Spirit to do it at his timing. We just need to not be resistant when it is his time. Well, hallelujah. We are so glad that you have joined us for this week's teaching. We will be back again next week with our next Torah portion. So we invite you to come back and join us for next week's teaching. So come back now and shalom, y'all.